Okay, we are ready for our final session of the American Council of Blind. Yeah! American Council of Blind, oh gosh. Well, next week we're doing that stuff, and then later in the month we're doing that stuff. And besides, yes, I'm getting into practice, and Mitch wants me to be, you know, to hold ACB in just as high esteem as I do CCB, so I'm doing this for him, sort of thing. Even though it's not true. Of course. No part. This is just a continuation of the auction frivolity of last night. Okay. To do our invocation for this morning, we have our wonderful devotions chair and just super lady, Gussie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, for this is the day that you have made. And we praise you for waking us up and giving us an opportunity to be at the convention. We ask your blessing upon this convention, the closure of it. We ask for our president and all elective officers, Lord, that you would bless them to do another 2 years. Thank you for each and every one that's here. We pray for the sick this morning. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. We ask for your blessing to be upon this meeting. Also, we ask for traveling mercy for going home. Bless each and every one as they leave this place to go to their homes until the next meeting. These and other blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. And forgive my...
Amen. Thank you, Gussie. We are thrilled that you are here. You are just a super member of this organization and have been. How many years you been in this organization, Gussie?
32.
I'm telling you. 32. You know what? You and I are the same. How about that? So maybe you should have been elected president rather than me. We could demand a recount. There, we could do that. Okay. All right. I'm going to bring on for the secretary's report, Gabe Griffith.
I am coming on for a confession. I do not have the business minute meeting from last spring, so I'm going to have to ask that we table those until the spring convention, and I will have those and read the spring and today. So I would entertain a motion to table today's business meetings.
Point of order.
Okay, we have a point of order from a man to whom I would never... even challenge a point of order.
I know better than that.
He knows more than me.
Just a rather niggling clarification here, as I believe the correct motion is a motion to defer until the following convention, because if we table it, we'd have to formally take it off the table, and I don't think that's what we want to do.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to defer until the spring convention.
Okay, so we have a motion to defer to the spring convention. That is a debatable motion, correct, Roger? I think so. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor say aye. All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to defer the treasurer's report briefly, and we will go on, since we're into deferrals today. We're now going on to the Constitutional and Bylaws Committee report. And our esteemed chair, I saw a great agenda on my email. I wish I could have been there. Unfortunately, I was not. Gerald Consler. Jerry?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A beautiful, beautiful morning. Of course, I say that when it's pouring down rain. And I'm delighted to be with you again. If I haven't gotten to say hello to each and every one of you, you know I mean to say hello. I believe it was Mark Twain who declared that There are two kinds of people who should never invest in the stock market: those who can afford to and those who can't. I've been waiting since the last fall of the Dow to tell that. We did have an excellent meeting on Friday, and we had three potential amendments, none of which will put out in amendment language today. But the first involves Article 7 declaring that a member must be a resident of the state of California. And we observe that there are members of the organization who are not residents, and so we want to look at other states to see how they handle having individuals from other states. And we'll have something to present to you in the spring. By the way, I did not stay at the hotel this time, as I live nearby, but I will be staying at the hotel in Sacramento. And I have every intention of taking the train to San Francisco and walking across the Golden Gate Bridge. So if any of you want to join me, I'll treat a couple people to breakfast on that trip. I've been under it on the ship coming back from Korea, and I've flown over it I don't know how many times. But I've never walked across it, so that should be fun. And the second has to do with a possible amendment in the bylaws under committees. I'm not sure that we'll put it there, but it relates to our inability to have conversations and discussions with representatives in those areas where there are no chapters. They like to talk with their legislators like to talk with their constituents, and if there's no organized group, then they don't want to listen to someone from a chapter from elsewhere or other people. So the idea is to have some sort of a group of three, group up to nine. When they get 10, they can, you know, apply for affiliation as a chapter. So something needs to be done there, either through the bylaws or a presidential appointment and so forth. And the proposer has promised to explore this in an article in the Blind Californian, so we can look forward to that, and that'll give us some time to think about, you know, how that might come out. And the third one, it would be a constitutional amendment. And we find ourselves in these hard economic times in what the poet calls the fell clutch of circumstance. And the circumstance is that we may have to go to a once-a-year meeting. So that would require a constitutional amendment to declare under the article called Meetings that the council shall hold annual meetings. We realize the vast, extensive implications of this major paradigm shift for this organization. And we don't want to rush to do it, and we want to do it in a proper way, if we do it at all. And Mr. President, I don't know if you want to have different groups explore this or have a blue ribbon panel. I don't know if the Constitution Bylaws Committee, I can't speak for the committee to do this, but I would be pleased to serve as a conduit for receiving information relative to how this will affect your affiliate, your chapter, your attendance, and whatever, and fashion that out, and I can see a major Excel spreadsheet coming out. Don't just tell me that you don't want to do it or you do want to do it. Give me some reasons. It's going to affect elections. It's going to affect a whole bunch of different things, and these will all have to be adjusted if we go to this at all. So give us some time to explore that. We probably will have put in front of the group a constitutional amendment to go to an annual meeting, and we'll probably appear in Sacramento for possible action then or in the fall meeting. So look to that, and You can find my email. I'll post it again on the CCB list. And please send stuff to me. I don't have a vested interest. I'm not a member of a statewide affiliate. I'm a life member and not a member of a chapter now. I would prefer, I think, to have two a year. But if we can't do that, you know, that's what it is. We could always go back to that. So, and we did do some of the things on our agenda, and I think everything is set to go. So we won't discuss any of that today. I thank my committee, and I cordially invite any other members of the committee who may be here to comment if they wish, Roger or Mary Beth or Abby Vincent. And that, Mr. President, is my report. Thank you.
Oh, now I'm on. Just before I entertain a motion to approve the report, let me say two things. First, just a comment. I don't intend to appoint any kind of committee on this. I think that people would do well to provide information to you. I also think people can do things such as put things out on lists, send in letters for the editor so that they could appear in the Blind Californian. I think we all have our own ideas on this. I don't know that we need a special committee to necessarily look at it, because I think this is something that may or may not pass, but I don't know that we need a committee to deal with it ahead of time. I think people are definitely interested one way or another. So, and this is good, that it'll give plenty of time for people to really think about it and decide, you know, which way they may or may not want to go. So,
all lowercase g consular, K-O-N-S-L-E-R, at charter.net. I should mention, I do have one remaining Braille copy here and a couple of large print copies of Constitution of Bylaws. Anyone wants to pick those up? So, thank you.
Thank you. I think, you know, I'm very happy with the committee, with Jerry and his membership. They are really trying to do a fair and objective job of analyzing things. They are looking at trying to clean up some things in the Constitution, you know, from a non-substantive perspective. So I think we're heading in the right direction with this committee, and I think they will serve us well. So thank you, Jerry, and thank you to your committee, and I'll now entertain a motion to accept the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. There's a motion and a second by many. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. All opposed? Abstentions. Thank you, Jerry. We'll hear from you in the spring. Okay, now, I don't know. Chris, are you ready yet? Or do you want Gabe to start his resolutions? Okay, so we will now bring on our esteemed and hardworking, and probably going to be even more hardworking next year, Treasurer Chris Gray.
Thank you and good morning. Everybody awake this morning?
Yeah.
All right. I know when I went home last night, hospitality was going hard and strong. So it's been a great convention so far, and I have what I think will be a very brief, somewhat upbeat, but thoughtful treasurer report to give you. Let me begin by saying that in the past year we have continued, I guess I'd say in the past 6 months since I talked to you last, we have continued to work on creating a situation for CCB's investments where we were getting the most we could for each particular investment that we have. That hasn't always been easy. Now, there was a time as a few of our CDs and so forth rolled over when the banks were offering 2%, 2.5%. But after doing some investigating and looking around, I'm happy to tell you that we've been able to find FDIC-insured CD rates anywhere from 3.8 to 4.3%. They're not easy to find, but they're out there. And my commitment to you is to always get CCB the best rate we can within reason. Now, there are those who might wonder what's reasonable and what's not. And I think part of what's reasonable is we need to focus on FDI-insured securities. It's been suggested to me that we ought to look into this California bond to balance the budget, which is sitting at 4.5% right now. I didn't have time to do that before convention, but we will do it. So we're working on making our finances, the money we already have in the bank, do the best for CCB that it can. Some does better than others. It depends on, you know, the item. We have some smaller scholarship funds that we simply can't get into a higher interest-bearing account because right now their value is too small. If CCB had more income, I would recommend to you increasing their value to a point where we could invest many more of our small accounts into CDs or more high interest bearing money markets. Folks, we're going to get there. It's not going to be easy, but that's a goal of mine. I'm looking at that. If a windfall comes to CCB, I'll recommend it. So far, that hasn't happened. In addition to that, we're looking all the time at ways to reduce expenses and costs for CCB. We owe a great big thanks to Ed Branch. Earlier this year, a person came by our office, visited, and suggested that he might be able to save us some money in our telephone expenses. Ed took a hold of that, and he interviewed other customers of this company. He went to the bottom line of every expense we would transfer to this company. And as a result, as treasurer, I got to report it, but let me tell you, Ed is our administrative guy, did all the legwork to make it happen, and it will save CCB thousands of dollars a year on our phone expense. So thank you, Ed. There are other ways that we always try and reduce costs, and we'll continue to do that. So those are some highlights of things that have gone on. I won't bore you with the day-to-day. Ed and Jeff and I exchange emails literally, well, not every day, but almost every day, about one aspect or another of CCB's finances. I think we have a handle on it, and I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish in the last 6 to 12 months. You've heard before about the audits that were outstanding, and those audits have been completed 2005 and 2006. We are in the process now of identifying a new auditor. Our previous auditor was in San Jose. It's very difficult for him to come to Sacramento, and I'm sorry to say that he has experienced some pretty significant health problems that have really impacted his ability to help CCB and to work with CCB. So we are looking for a new auditor right now. We've worked very hard with our day-to-day accountants, Chan and Eng, and have managed to prepare ourselves. Let me put it to you this way. Once we do an audit, it isn't just a matter of putting the audit on the shelf and saying that's the end of the story. You have to take material from that audit and in some cases quite materially revise your accounting records for that year. So we had to do that for moving forward from 2005 to 2006, 2006 to 2007, and incorporate all of that material into the 2007 books before we could really begin to do a new audit. I believe that having done that may reduce our audit costs, knock on wood. We typically have paid $11,000 a year for an audit. That's a lot of money. We need to do it. We must have an audit. And I'm sure that all of you would agree with me that an audit is very important to the integrity of CCB's books. On the other hand, it would be great to get that audit cost down. And I think having done all the incorporation of the previous audits, having a set of books that our accountants believe is completely balanced is extremely important to doing that. And that's essentially where we are today. So we'll be going forward with the 2007 audit. I believe we'll have it done before the spring convention and be able to share with you the basic information at the spring convention. Getting down to a few figures, I won't give you a lot of figures today. If you look at our budget at this time, if you look at our year-to-date at this time, we have had income of $273,155. If you go by the budget at this time, or at the end of September, really, our anticipated income was $244,254. So we have more income than we projected by this time of $28,000. On the expense side, we have a year-to-date expense of $302,546. Based on the budget, we would have thought our expenses would be $273,317. So while we're ahead on the income side, we spent too much, $29,229 on the expense side. As you can see, we need to continue to do some work on expenses, but you know, expenses are a tricky thing. And an expense, for example, is the legislative seminar. What do we do about that? Other expenses that we have relate to the holding of our conventions and for the Blind Californian. We had some real anomalies in some of those areas. I was a little shocked when we got a bill for the Blind Californian that included, oh, I forget exactly what it was, a year and a half or 2 years of issues they hadn't billed us for. Well, that's a problem. But part of our job is to overcome problems, and we will. CCB is very lucky. This year we had an injection of funding that may or may not occur in 2009. As many of you know, and some of you don't agree with me, but many of you know, I'm a proponent of balancing CCB's budget. We cannot continue, my friends, to spend more than we make. We had some conversations on the board this Thursday and have begun a pattern of overspending for 2009 already. I'm concerned about that. And if we cannot do something about creating more income, our only alternative is to reduce the money that we spend. So what that means is we've got to get out there and increase our income, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to try and do that because we know that's the best way to go. We don't want to gut the programs of this organization. We're not going to do that either. But if any of you have any ideas for making some significant new money for CCB, let our president know. Let me know as your treasurer, because we need some ideas like that. Thrift stores were so good to us for a long, long time, weren't they? I mean, it was incredible. Vehicle donation was really good to us for a long, long time. Maybe with a new administration, we'll have a change in the tax code that will help. But it won't help the competition in vehicle donation that harms us. So we have a pretty good picture for 2008. I hope it will continue in that vein. I'll do everything I can to make it as positive a picture as I can from the responsibilities I have to CCB, and thank you all very much.
Thank you, Chris. Do I hear a motion? Well, actually, I do have to point out one thing before we go into the motion, which Gabe pointed out to me. You know, there is one problem, Chris, with your treasurer's report. As many of you know, Chris happens to be, along with some of the rest of us out here, a supporter of Barack Obama. And Chris, the problem. We're not going to get into a political thing here, but the problem, which Gabe so correctly pointed out, is Chris, you're tending to use my friends. Now that's a John McCain thing. So you really need to think about it.
I will work to excise that term from my vocabulary.
Okay. Now we'll entertain a motion for acceptance of the Treasurer's Report. With excising the my friends, of course.
Okay. You can blame it on that one.
Okay. Did I hear a motion?
So moved.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion of the Treasurer's Report? Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The Treasurer's Report has been adopted.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Pomerantz.
I didn't want to raise it during Chris's Treasurer's Report, but it's a follow-up to his Treasurer's Report. There has been some discussion both before and during the convention, and I guess I'd like to crystallize it a bit. And that is that I think CCB, the president of CCB, should consider appointing a task force to do some research into possibly finding a new thrift store manager with which to affiliate or with whom to affiliate. There are lots of them out there. This appears to be a pretty good time for the thrift store business. We get calls, Donna, at what essentially is the Southern California CCB office. There are people who still want to donate to CCB. They know our name. And I think that's one avenue that we ought to explore in terms of developing a revenue stream for 2009 and beyond.
I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I will immediately try and seek, not only will I seek it right now, so people after the convention should get a hold of me if they are interested in looking at this, but I will also put forth some publicity on this so that I can hopefully get a task force appointed within the next couple of weeks to begin the process of looking into that, because that could take a while, but we need to start the process quickly so that we don't lose some time before they're all gobbled up by other charities trying to do the same thing.
Make a quick comment on that.
Jerry, Consular would like to comment on this topic.
On that point, there are some thrift stores that have been so successful that they now carry a list of organizations, list of charities that they distribute money to. They do all the work. And I wonder if it wouldn't behoove us to also look into those. Maybe we could get our name on the list.
Mr. Consular is almost volunteered himself to be on the task force.
Yeah. Careful, Jerry, careful.
Looking for a trip over to Hollywood.
Okay. Anyone else on this topic before we let it go? It is an important topic, our finances. We can't overlook any, you know, possibility at this point in time. Okay, we will now move on to what I always consider a highlight of every convention. Oh, but before we do this, I want to say just a few things, because it gets to the end and people start walking out. I want to recognize many, many people. First, I want to recognize our outstanding audio duo, Teresa and Tim Santiago, who did such a great job with everything. Teresa brought Tim in, and now they just have this finely tuned machine going here. And so thank you very much to them. You want to say something before gets away?
Well, thank you again for letting me be here. This is my fourth convention with you, and I'm looking forward to be up in Sacramento in April. And my husband's had a great time with us, and we're working on making this even a better convention. Just for people to know, I am going to work on getting connectors to add to laptops to my mixers. So when you bring in a presenter that's going to have a laptop that has audio files to be played, give me a heads up, and I will make sure that I have it set so they can go through the speakers without having to jimmy it with a mic, and it sounds much better for our recordings and our meetings as well. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you both for the great work. Okay, let's recognize our staff and our perennial volunteers. I know she's not here, but Pat Whitehead from the Puppy Raisers, they did such a great job. Say what?
I'm sorry?
Yes. And the puppies. Let's recognize Mary Lou and Pinky every year on that registration table. And, of course, this time, fresh from the sick bed from the last two conventions, we finally have him back. Let's recognize all the hard work that Ed Branch does for this organization. And it's funny, too, because I said, Ed, this time we're really going to rest you before the convention a little bit more. You're going to take a day off, et cetera, yada, yada. And, of course, as Chris said the other night, that didn't happen because he had to come in all these late nights to work with Ray Chan on our financials. So even though I said, you got it, you can't do this, it happened anyway. But this time he made it, so thank goodness. But we were trying to take a little of the pressure off. So, a real shout out to Ed because this was a good thing. And of course, Diana Sandel for her great work again. So, and all the outstanding volunteers, AT&T especially, and there were others as well. I'm going to go back up and, mention to Sarah and all the pioneers up in my neck of the woods how great a job the folks from Pasadena and other places did down here. That was just great. So, and I want to get a copy of that wonderful picture that I got taken with that gorgeous pioneer a few days ago. Maybe I can make my wife jealous or something like that. I don't know. But whatever. So it was great. Okay, Roger wants Senator Lowell. I'll take the pioneer, Roger, any day. But that's okay. We're now going to turn to, I know I will have forgotten to thank somebody for all the work that is done in order to make these conventions run, but I think that always happens. I almost did forget two people, and I probably wouldn't have heard the end of it if I had. This was really a labor of love for these two folks. Dan Kaiser and Ken Metz put an awful lot of hours in at this convention, getting this thing streamed and learning the ropes as they went to some degree, fighting a little bit of red tape here and there, but really making this work and getting us out to the world. And let's give them some real hand. They really made it go. That's great. Thank you. Okay, now let's get on to, as I say, what is kind of my favorite part of the convention, where we set forth the policies that we're going to pursue during the next year, and that we go to our esteemed Resolutions Committee Chair, Gabe Griffith.
Okay, and don't worry, Jeff, if you forgot anybody, we'll make sure to name them in our appreciation resolutions.
All right. This year for you, it was actually a little bit lighter this year than it's been in past years. We have a total of 9 resolutions, including the hotel and volunteer appreciation resolutions. The first one, there were none withdrawn, none tabled, so we'll be bringing all of them forward to you. The first one is a little bit of a different situation than what I've been in before. There was a resolution brought forth by the Rehabilitation Committee last summer, and it was a little bit of a timely issue. So it was worked on and sent forth with a letter, I believe, with Jeff's signature and stuff on it. However, due to just different reasons, I do not have a final copy of that resolution. I do have a rough draft, or the first draft of it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read that draft to you and just ask that we pass it kind of in concept, with the understanding that it's already been worked on and edited and everything, and that we have a final copy and can publish that in the next edition of the Blind Californian, maybe, so that everybody can see it and make sure it's in the record. But like I said, I just want to read the draft of it so we have the concept of what it is. And with that in mind, oh, and the other thing is the boilerplate information that I'm just going to read in this first resolution and bypass it for the next subsequent resolutions. And with that being said, here we go with resolution 2008-B1. Whereas, due to the state budget, the Department of Rehabilitation is cutting back on funding for consumer services. And whereas, these cutbacks severely reduce the opportunities for blind and visually impaired persons to become both independent and gainfully employed amongst a group whose unemployment rate is over 70%. And whereas adaptive technology costs are extremely high and out of range for most blind or visually impaired persons to afford for themselves. And whereas learning to effectively use technology and learn numerous skills to live independently require specific specialty training by highly skilled instructors whose costs are high due to their specialized training. And whereas blind and visually impaired persons are unable to gain skills from instructors teaching persons with other types of disabilities. And whereas the state of California is giving up an 8%, I'm sorry, 80% rehabilitation funding match by cutting this budget of persons who are so desperately, need services in order to become taxpayers rather than tax recipients. And whereas blind and visually impaired persons may cost the state more money in the long run if nursing care is needed due to a lack of independent skills training, and whereas it is recognized that the California State Department of Rehabilitation must find other funding to supplement that given through the state budget, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 26th day of October 2008 at the Four Points Sheraton LAX Hotel in the city of Los Angeles, that this organization urge the Department of Rehabilitation to do an analysis on what is legal to cut funding for with consumer services, and that consumer services be the last resort to cut back on funding, and that these ideals be implemented to cut back on consumer funding as follows. 1. Regional center clients must be referred to them for assistance in paying for services that can be covered by them. 2, contract with out-of-state businesses to provide training resulting in job placement, such as Verizon, Statler Center Hospitality Program, NIB, etc. 3, provide home-based employment such as NTI as an option for consumers to go to work. 4, Department of Rehabilitation to implement public relations through PSAs, videos, to get more job placement. To get more job placement. This can be accomplished if creative utilizing free of charge PSAs. 5, encourage state universities and community colleges to hire people who are blind or visually impaired to work as aides, researchers, student housing, or other positions open to college or university students. 6, produce issuance letters, I think is what that says, stating that the technology or equipment and or equipment is on loan and needs to be returned if the individual's plan is not followed through with. Then the technology and or equipment can be loaned out to other consumers. 7, establish relationships with a variety of entities to provide internships and apprentice positions, as well as on-the-job training to develop into jobs. 8, steps put in place to prevent professional clients from abusing the system with extremely lengthy programs. Looks like with not more than 10 years. 9, have jobs developed with the California Relay Service and California Telephone Access Program for people who are blind or visually impaired This would involve reading Braille or large print and typing skills. And be it further resolved that this organization work with the director of the California State Department of Rehabilitation to implement all of the above. The Resolutions Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, so technically, the motion, as I think that Gabe had stated before, was to endorse the concept of this resolution, which was sent to Tony Candela. It was substantially rewritten, by the way. But the nine major points of the resolution, along with the, just to give you a factual background, the nine major points of the resolution, along with the idea that there needed to be an analysis of what legal steps, could and could not be taken. That was, although rewritten in non-substantive ways, those were basically still the thrust of the resolution, and everyone should know that. So, that is the nature of the motion. By the way, Ms. Candela did send this around to all the counselors, so this was actually publicized. That's right. I think so. It had the desired effect of getting a debate going as to what could be done to help consumers without, reduction. Since the reductions had already occurred. So, with that discussion.
All right, number eight. Steps put in place to prevent professional clients from abusing the system with extremely lengthy programs of not more than 10 years. Isn't it supposed to be of more than 10 years? Okay, we think it's supposed to be extremely lengthy programs of more than 10 years. So, yeah. I'm sorry, I was reading as it was written here. I think it's basically, if I'm correct, I think it's basically trying to keep people from being on rehab forever. Is that correct, Jeff?
I think the
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Matt.
Teresa has the mic up.
Let me just explain that what happens here, and I've seen this, and I'm sure other rehab counselors have seen this as well. There have been people who are basically professional students, and they depend on the Department of Rehab to pay for them, which is fine because they need the assistance. But there are many of these folks who have gone on for 10, 15, 20, and 20-plus years, all in rehab, all in school, continuously taking classes, but yet not employed. And what the committee felt is we do need to maybe try and find some limit, unless there are some extenuating circumstances, for folks to be able to cut those programs down to a number of years and give them some time limits. Even if they complete one job, I have honestly seen when I was a counselor where a person then said, well, I've got my degree now, but I don't want to go into that. I changed my mind. Then they, it happens, you guys. And then they go into another program, and I've seen programs go over 20 years, and I think that's outrageous.
Yes, Mr. Pomeranz, we'll get a mic to you.
By legal analysis, I trust, and Ken, that I'm not a big fan of professional students, but whatever transpires with this resolution, we need to make sure that it is within the boundaries of the Rehabilitation Act, because it does make some fairly specific requirements And I think we need to be careful not to endorse or not to suggest that we would want to limit or narrow in California what is allowed within the Rehabilitation Act.
That's right, and in fact, that's the reason for, as you, I think, were alluding to, a legal analysis, so that whatever, you know, in taking these steps, we do not do anything that would run afoul of consumer rights.
Mr. President, 2 points on this particular resolution. One encompasses this particular point about the professional students. I would suggest that there be language placed in that particular bullet point that would exclude the continuation of assistance for those who continue to change their courses over and over again. You have professional students who will go in, who will say go for a year in one major, or maybe they'll go a quarter or semester, and then I want to do something else, and then they come back, I want to do something else, and they're just constantly changing. So I would encourage, you know, something along the lines of making sure that you have students who don't randomly change courses continue to be able to do that. The other point that is salient is when we talk about public service announcements, I don't know who really runs public service announcements anymore, because I can tell you that broadcasters, shamefully, are not interested in offering public service times to radio stations. I know I used to work in broadcasting, and I actually had corporate tell me, we're not interested in PSAs, they don't make money. So as a consequence, all the work that is done to produce PSAs, by and large, get ignored by the broadcasters.
Okay, next speaker, I think I heard someone else.
No other hands up.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I thought
just,
I heard.
Just a point of
someone.
This is Frank Welty. Point of inquiry.
Yes.
It's my understanding then that this is a resolution that has already been acted on, and this is essentially just a ratification. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Abstentions. Okay. The motion is adopted. Okay.
Okay. Resolution B2 deals with paratransit destination arrival times, and this was submitted to us by our webmaster, Joel Isaac. Whereas many people who are blind or visually impaired rely exclusively on paratransit services for transportation to places of employment, medical services, educational institutions, and others. And whereas many paratransit providers schedule rides based solely on pickup times rather than destination arrival times. And whereas the length of the ride is unpredictable, and whereas repeated late arrivals can result in termination of employment, cancellation of medical services, suspension of educational benefits, and other negative consequences. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge all paratransit providers to establish policies and procedures that will allow riders the choice to schedule rides based either on pickup times or destination arrival times. And be it further resolved that the CCB president write a letter to member-identified paratransit providers in California requesting that they implement the above-stated change in policy. The committee recommends it do pass, and I so move.
Okay, there is a motion. We actually, parliamentarily, I got to tell you, Chris made a great move when he appointed Mr. Stevens from Alabama is our parliamentarian for ACB, because I've learned so much from that wonderful gentleman. You don't need a second. So I don't know if we'll ever get out of that habit in California, because we're always doing it. But I'll say it once, and maybe I'll say it again next time. Maybe I won't. But we don't need it.
And maybe
once the committee presents it, the body has it. It's before the body. So any discussion on the resolution? Hearing none. Boy, that's...
Wow.
All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted.
Okay, moving right along. Resolution 2008-B3 deals with state notices of proposed regulations. And this is submitted to us by Jane Lozano. Whereas the California Administrative Procedures Act, I struggle with that one every time I read it, requires that notice of proposed standards and regulations shall be given and hearings shall be held by the adopting state agency prior to the adoption of the changes and submission to the adopting authority for approval. And whereas the notice of proposed standards and regulations and the initial statement of reasons for the proposed changes shall comply with Article 5, commencing with Section 11346 of the Government Code. And whereas Section 11346.2 parentheses 3 close parentheses requires that the agency shall use underline or italics to indicate additions to and strike out to indicate deletions from the California Code of Regulations. And whereas a format which uses underlines, italics, and strikeouts is not effectively reproduced in alternative media, such as Braille or accessible electronic versions, thus excluding persons who are blind or visually impaired from the rulemaking process. And whereas federal agencies employ a format which narratively describes the original text and the proposed changes. And whereas Section 11135 of the Government Code requires state agencies to make their publications fully accessible. And whereas, despite their efforts, state agencies have had limited success in complying with the requirement that proposed modifications of regulations be presented in accessible media. And whereas, state agencies cannot utilize the federal format found in the Federal Register Document Drafting Handbook without Section 11346.2 parentheses 3 close parentheses of the Government Code being revised through legislation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization seek legislation to amend Section 11346.2 parentheses 3 close parentheses of the Government Code to require that state agencies produce publications that are narratively described in addition to the current practice of using or of utilizing underlines, italics, and strikeouts. The resolution committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. Before we get into the discussion, there's actually a factual inaccuracy. If you could read the first that I want us hopefully prevent. Could you read the first whereas, Gabe?
The first whereas, yes, says, whereas the California Administrative Procedures Act requires that notice of proposed standards and regulations shall be given and hearings shall be heard by the adopting state agency.
All right, right after that. You have prior to submission to its adopting authority.
Prior to the adoption of the changes and
okay,
submission.
Okay, if you just say prior to the adoption of the changes, you're okay. This was initially written to refer to the Building Standards Commission. Not everybody has, most agencies don't have an adopting authority. So if you just take that last part out, if you stop it at
prior,
changes.
Prior to the adoption of the changes and then just.
Right, the rest of it is unnecessary.
End it there? Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
I am happy to accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Very good. Excellent resolution.
Moving on to resolution B4, deals with referrals to private agent Department of Rehabilitation counselors referrals to private agencies and fee for services. This was submitted to us by Charles Nabaretti. Whereas the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, has changed the method for paying private agencies that provide services to clients who are blind or visually impaired to an exclusively fee-for-service arrangement. And whereas several agencies that provide specialized services to these clients have expressed the fear that the fee-for-service plan will result in decreased revenue for their programs. And whereas a number of employees of these agencies have been laid off as a consequence of the change to the fee-for-service arrangement, and whereas the Deputy Director Specialized Services Division of DOR has failed to instruct Blindfield Services, BFS, staff to utilize specialized agencies rather than generic service providers, and whereas some BFS counselors choose to refer their clients to agencies that provide generic services, and at least one BFS supervisor has directed the BFS counselors in that district to refer clients with an individual plan for employment to a non-specialized agency in that district, even though a specialized agency is available to provide placement services. And whereas SB 105 expressly recognized that DOR clients who are blind or visually impaired are better served by the provision of specialized rehabilitation services than by generic services, and whereas unless DOR counselors refer their clients to agencies that specialize in providing services to the blind community, the continued existence of such agencies is seriously threatened. And whereas the increased number of unsuccessful closures that are likely to occur due to the decreased availability of specialized services will ultimately result in significantly higher costs to the department and taxpayers, now therefore be it resolved that the president of this organization communicate to the director of the Department of Rehabilitation that the blind field services staff be required to use agencies that specialize in providing services to clients who are blind or visually impaired whenever appropriate. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. The resolution is before us. Is there discussion? Okay.
I believe that was
Mr.
Richard.
Rueda.
Who are we protecting? Are we protecting the private agencies or the consumers? This is more of a resolution that's not in the spirit of consumer choice, and I would speak in opposition to this resolution. I think the special agencies for the blind are good, but we can't protect them and enforce and say you have to go there when other service agencies are doing just as well in or out of blind field services. And as a counselor, I can't tell my client you have to go to this blind center versus his other center if the other center is doing a better job. And not all blind centers are the same, guys. Some do better than others. And some private agencies that don't serve the blind do better than blind agencies. Excuse me. So I speak in opposition to this resolution.
Mr. President.
Okay. Chris Gray has asked the floor.
Well, with all due respect to Richard's comments, and I think there is validity in his comments, a real fear that I have is that if we move support away from organizations that really support blind rehabilitation, we may be hurting blind people even worse than by compromising a bit on freedom of choice. I believe in freedom of choice, but, you know, we know an awful lot about independent living centers that take our money and don't help blind people at all. So we don't want to support that. But having said that, there is one point of confusion I have in the resolution. One thread of the resolution talks about the changing of the financing model between DOR and private agencies serving the blind. And the difficulties that may create for those agencies. The other thread has to do with the agency not really giving proper support by sending clients to agencies. Are those two inextricably related? I'm not asking this in opposition. I just want to know as a point of information.
Okay, Charles, or anyone who is involved in the resolution? Well, first, anyone to answer the question before we go to Jerry?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jerry Arakawa, and I too have to speak in opposition to this resolution. Primarily, the resolution as it stands would require, so to speak, it would require the department to violate its own policies, deeply embedded in all of the client-required stages in rehabilitation. Deeply embedded in all the stages in rehab is a concept called informed choice. Essentially, what the resolution as it states, as it sits now, would require counselors to ignore the principle of informed choice, which is part of the director in the department. And I too like to see agencies for the blind flourish, do well, provide the kind of outstanding services that most of them do. Perhaps a compromise in the resolve clause could be encouraged to use rather than required where appropriate.
Well, wait a minute. Well, for, before I recognize Mitch and Artis and whoever, Donna, okay. Well, look, can we read the resolved again so that we get a full understanding of where we are?
Sure, we can do that. And I just before I do that, while I'm bringing it up here, I do want to point out that it says whenever possible, so it doesn't require him to do it all the time.
Yeah, I know, it's
in my reading.
Appropriate.
So, or whenever appropriate. So anyway, let me read the resolve, and we'll see if we can come to an agreement here. It says, be it resolved that the president of this organization communicate to the director of the Department of Rehabilitation that the Blind Field Services staff be required to use agencies that specialize in providing services to clients who are blind or visually impaired whenever appropriate.
And as I said, I have a problem with that, and I suspect, Mr. President, I suspect that if you communicate to the director as you must in this resolution, it'll be an easy answer. The department will just say, well, we'd like to do it, but it violates informed choice as promulgated by RSA.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mitch.
Don and I had the same thought at the same time, but I want to make one comment, and she'll make another one. The sense from the resolution, actually, and it goes to the informed choice matter, is that the way it's written, it sounds like it's the counselor who is making that decision, that it really isn't informed choice per se. You know, it's like the ADA. It's the interactive process. They discuss it. The counselor said, okay, well, this is what you want. I'm going to send you here. And here may not be a specialized agency for the blind. Now, having said that, I think that the other major problem here is that the violation of whatever state rules obtain insofar as cost, I suspect that the state, just as my employer, has to go, if not to the lowest bidder, at least to a competitive bidder. And there are agencies, I'm thinking of the Center for Access Technology, I think I have their name correctly, here in Los Angeles, which is not a blindness-specific agency per se, but provides significant training, an amount of training and quality training to blind and visually impaired persons. You know, we automatically think of independent living centers and we say, no, we don't want our folks going there. But there are quote-unquote generic agencies who have a significant level of programming to blind, mm-hmm. for blind and visually impaired people. That's very true.
Mr. President?
Yes, Donna.
It was kind of amusing. We hadn't talked to each other, and we both stood up at the same time. It was quite scary.
Wow, Mitch and Donna don't talk to each other.
Because we were both pondering, I guess, you know, the wheels were turning. But the concern is who is making the choice, the consumer or the supervisor. Okay, and I believe that this is where the issue is with the resolution. It was stated earlier that the supervisor was making the choice of where the consumer went. And we are a consumer advocacy organization, and I believe this is a concern of our membership, that the consumers are not making the choice, that the supervisors are making the choice for our money to go to other places. And I move to refer this resolution back to the Resolutions Committee so that we could get the the proper consultation to make sure that it goes within the statutes that govern Department of Rehab and go for a rewrite.
Okay, so there's a motion to refer. Is there a second?
There's
a second. It is debatable, I believe, Roger.
Actually, Mr. President, I think it'd be a point of order.
Point of order.
There was a motion on the floor for a due pass.
No, it doesn't matter.
That's what I wanted to make sure on. Okay.
But it is debatable, correct, Roger? Okay, that's what I thought. I think I actually heard Mitch before I heard Chris. Chris, I'm sorry, that's what I meant. Third.
I'd like to talk about referring for a moment. Donna, how would you feel about referring to the board? If you refer to resolutions, we won't do anything about this until next spring. Is this something we really want to wait until the spring to manage?
I would accept that as a friendly amendment, but I would like this board to meet on it, in a timely fashion, and so that we can also have the appropriate people to make sure we're within the laws that govern DOs.
Well, that's exactly my concern.
Yes.
I hate to wait till the spring.
Yeah, I don't, and I accept that, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so the friendly amendment that the referral be to the board rather than the resolutions committee. Any further discussion? Yes. Yes, ma'am.
There. I move we not refer because it seems pretty clear that there's a basic issue before us which we can decide right now. Do we believe that we should instruct the rehabilitation agency to give an institutional bias for agencies for the blind, or do we stand for consumer choice, as is the case with our parent organization?
Okay, so...
So therefore, I think we don't need to wait.
You're not making a motion.
Right,
what
now
you're doing is speaking against this motion.
I'm speaking against referring, because
right,
I believe that,
right,
that we don't need to polish the thing. We need to make up our mind now.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion... Oh, I'm sorry.
I just didn't speak up. I just stood up.
Yeah, it helps. In this sort of thing, it's good to speak up.
I know.
It's not like the questions of earlier in the week. Well, now we'll do the speak up thing.
This is Artis. I just agree that we adopt policy versus, in the exact language, the board or whatever wants to polish the language. I don't have a problem with that. But I think we should vote on the concept here.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I heard Ken.
I heard, I think, two.
This is Ed Cressman. Thanks. The resolution really is covering too many things here when we're talking about funding.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Ed, you have to speak either for or against the referral motion.
I'm against it.
Okay.
Okay.
Say why you're against it.
And the reason why is because it covers too many areas that are not clear. The funding...
Hold on. Let me finish.
The funding, it includes the funding of fee-for-service in that. And that really is not a department choice. That comes from the state of California, and it's not really the department. So it's going to create a lot of other issues if we try to pass it. I think it needs to be cleaned up.
Well, he's spoken his piece. Let's just go on. Somebody else can speak their own piece. Ken.
Yeah. It seems, well, first of all, I believe at this point I would be against referring, because I would think that we could take the resolve and communicate to the director of the department that the client has an informed choice with his or her counselor, but that the supervisor cannot direct the client to go to a specific agency.
Okay. Any other discussion? Yeah, Mr. Gray.
With all due respect to the last two comments, they're simply incorrect.
If we do not refer this resolution for a rewrite and we pass it, that is the resolution that goes to DOR. If you think this resolution needs some work, then you need to vote to refer. That's what referral is all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we've had plenty of discussion on this. We've had a call for the question appropriately. So all those in favor of the motion refer to the board, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The motion is carried. So we will now go on to the next resolution. And we will certainly put it on the next board agenda.
Which needs to happen in a timely manner.
Does a referral mean that the board will rewrite it and pass it?
Dirk, or, I don't know what the board will do yet. All I can say is, Dirk, that the board will take some kind of action. They could rewrite it and submit it as a board resolution. They could submit it to the spring convention. They could decide that they don't like it at all.
My question is, are we giving the consent here to, such that the voice of the council is informing the board, or is the board permitted to make any decision it may wish?
The board, because it can act between conventions, can make any decision it wishes constitutionally. Now, having said that, the board should be mindful of what it has heard today, which goes all over the lot, essentially. But nonetheless, in a constitutional way, the board has the power to... It cannot adopt the resolution as a convention resolution. That it cannot do. But it can adopt it as a board resolution. It can send it up. It can, you know, bring it to the resolutions committee in the spring. Lots of things it could do or not do. Jerry, want to make a comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you. If I may, I understood the motion to be a motion to
refer.
It was clear that it was... Thanks.
We're not going back to the 60s either. Whatever madness we may be about to pursue. Okay, next resolution. Oh. Dirk, I don't know about your points of order. You never know where they'll lead.
Okay. Moving on, the next resolution, what number did I say? We're on 5, is dealing with the online presence of CCB. And this one came to us from the Publications Committee. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, has had an online presence since the late 1990s, including a website, email list serves, and electronic publications. And whereas this online presence is an important tool in recruiting, educating, and retaining members, and providing outreach to the general public. And whereas this online presence should capture and convey the spirit of the organization in a vibrant and consistent manner. And whereas a growing number of this organization's members, as well as the general public, rely on the internet to gather resources and information on a daily basis. And whereas the CCB website is not currently meeting this growing demand for resources and information. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the president of this organization immediately appoint a task force consisting of members from the board of directors and the publications and technology committees to thoroughly study and develop recommendations regarding CCB's web presence. And be it further resolved that these recommendations include updating CCB's online communications and allocating appropriate financial support for a webmaster, and be it further resolved that the task force present an initial report and additional updates to the board of directors and the general membership at the spring 2009 convention and on an ongoing basis. The resolutions committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Gray.
Let me perhaps make myself unpopular or not, I don't know. But I'm going to stand and say to CCB that the last thing we need is another task force. We know what needs to be done. We have the recommendations from the publications committee. We know that we need the financing to do this. Let's get on about doing the work we need to do and not burden ourselves with more bureaucracy.
All right. Anyone else? Mr. Wapti.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the resolution came from the publications committee, so apparently they don't think their existing recommendations are sufficient, and therefore they've asked for something further.
Donna, I'm sorry.
Mr. President, I believe that in echoing what Frank said, the publications committee, since it came from the publications committee, the publication is asking for extra assistance so that the process can be completely transparent, and the publications committee would like to bring in and collaborate with the other committees that it has called upon to assist in doing this in a task force. And if the chair of the task force is time sensitive, time conscious, results based, then it's not going to flounder. And I believe that if we put the minds of people from these specific areas together to collaborate, we will have an awesome, dynamic web presence. So I vote in support of this.
Okay. Anyone else? Further discussion? I think that's the other party that I...
This is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker.
I knew that it was getting there. I just was a little early.
As a member of the Publications Committee, I think this resolution speaks to the idea of creating a cohesive infrastructure that will enable us to share our web presence. And if we don't have that infrastructure in place, it's going to be all over the board or all over the place. It won't be a consistent and a cohesive understanding. And that's one of the things that we're lacking at this point in time, in my personal opinion. And I think that this task force, as Donna said, we want that to be a task force, not a committee, so that it will be a very task-oriented and very timely results-oriented group, that it will not go on forever, and that it will create and develop that strategic direction within that web presence that is so critical for this organization.
Yeah, I have a question. If we were to pass this, I'm not trying to advocate one way or another, but if we were to pass it, would the makers, keeping in mind that a task force shouldn't be too large. So I understand that. Would the makers consider, instead of consisting, changing it to in, which shall include at a minimum? So if there was a person the president thought should be on there that wasn't on one of these committees, they could be appointed? I don't know that there would be, but what do the makers think about that? I mean, I can live with this either way. I'm not trying to... Yeah, Bernice. This is not a. I'm not going to oppose this resolution because you say yes or no on this. I'm just asking.
Yes, because after we worked on this resolution, I had a thought of someone who would be possibly really helpful in this situation, and they don't. They are not in any one of those groups. So.
Okay.
So what did you want to change that?
You know, there's something at the end of that that needs that's
done. So that's an acceptable friendly amendment mm-hmm. to your resolution.
At the end of that, it says something about ongoing reports, and for a task force, I think that needs to be stricken.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What needs to be?
At the end, toward the end, it says ongoing reports, which sounds like a long-term thing. It just needs to be stricken.
Did you understand what you want?
So you wanted to just end at report to the board and the membership at the spring 2009 convention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. President, this is Linda uh-huh. Porrell, member of the Resolutions Committee. That ongoing thing was put in there because the original resolution said for the next three conventions, and the committee felt that that was kind of a lock-in of a time frame. So we opened up the time frame, but as a member of the committee, I certainly would agree on tightening the time frame again, because ongoing sort of speaks to the concern that Chris originally raised about this being codified into another committee. So whatever time frame wants to be put on it, I would support.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, we will get a task force going. Again, people who are interested, let me know.
Okay, moving on to number 6, which is a letter in support of an RSVC vendor that and a hearing decision, I guess, that's coming up. So, here it is. Whereas the Office of Administration Hearing, OAH, decision 2008061081, dated September 30th, 2008, ruled the Department of Rehabilitation Business Enterprise Program, BEP, has not followed the spirit and intent of the federal law of the Randolph-Shepard Act regarding federal dining facilities. And whereas the OAH determined the Randolph-Shepard Act supersedes state contracting laws and cited previous state cases concerning this issue. And whereas the BEP is proceeding with regulations that are not promulgated presently concerning these issues. And whereas the resolution of the OAH decision directed the Department of DOR BEP to not deviate from the Randolph-Shepard Act intent, now therefore be it resolved that this organization continue its previously stated support of decision number 2008061081, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to all relevant parties in this decision. The Resolutions Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, we're ready for discussion. I have a question. It seems to me that the clause that deals with that they are pursuing amendments that have not presently promulgated, if you interpreted that in a certain way, it would mean that if the amendments, if the regulations did get promulgated, the decision could have been the right one, at least for the future. I would think that that clause should better be deleted. Because I think, I would assume the vendors would say that the state does not have the right to require that these facilities be rebid just because the contract is being renegotiated between the state and the Department of, between the federal agency in this case. So I would think that, and I'm happy to listen to David or whatever, but it seems to me that particular clause about the regulations is potentially harmful, if anything. Okay. So we will delete.
So we will strike that from the resolution. That entire clause that talks about promulgating.
Yes.
Whatever.
Thank you. Yes. Frank.
Could somebody tell us in a minute, just very briefly, what the issue? In other words, what the story is behind this resolution? What happened and who's involved and whatever.
David, you want to do that?
Frank, it's Hazel Harmon speaking. There's an arbitration case currently going on, and basically what it involved was one vendor who has a military Department of Defense contract. His contract came up for renewal, number one, and the department decided that all of the vendors who have contracts, federal contracts, when the contracts come up for renewal, they must go through the selection procedure again. That has never happened before in the 35 years of the program. And number two, the department has decided that they want, although they are the contractor with the Department of Defense, the way the selection process goes is the vendor is selected through the regular selection process, and then he has an option of choosing a partner because the cost of operating these military dining facilities is horrendous. And so the partner works with the vendor at the military installation. And what the department wants is to determine themselves, number one, who the vendor will be without the selection process, and number two, who the partner will be without the vendor being in the selection process. The partnering companies have all told the department that they will not work that way because they don't work that way in any of the other states on their military dining contracts. And number three, the most important part of this OAH decision was it very clearly pointed out that the intent of the Randolph-Shepard Act and them working with the partners is that when the contracts come up for renewal, the vendor will renew with the partner, but each time the contract comes up for renewal, the vendor accepts more responsibility, and within two or three renewals, the vendor himself will have the money and the expertise to run the contract entirely on his own. And that is the intent and spirit of the Randolph-Shepard Act, that the vendors eventually gain the experience and the money to carry on with these military dining contracts on their own. And that was the purpose, and that's what the OAH decision pointed out to the department, and that's what RSVC is asking CCB for support. so that the vendors themselves will eventually carry on with the contract. And then David wants to say something.
Just the final point here. Another thing, too, that the department wants to do is to have this process go through the Department of General Services for their review of contracting review. That's another big thing that they want to do. And if they do that, then that would just totally destroy any opportunity for DOD military, because it would take too long. And just the fact that what we're seeing here is that this is federal contracting, and therefore it does not have to go through state contracting review. So that's our point here.
Okay. Do we have any other question back there? Yes, yes.
Has any thought been given, is there a state requirement regarding contract review? Might we need to stipulate via legislation that, federal contracts are exempt from whatever provision of state law requires general services to review those?
Well, I think, Mitch, that's really sort of a subsidiary issue that probably will have to be ironed out to some degree down the road. I think the bigger issue for the moment is whether the vendor can be required to go back into the selection process.
No, I understand.
The other issue we may well have to revisit, and but at this point in time, I think if we need legislation, I don't even know that we need a resolution to deal with it. I mean, I think we would just obviously go after it.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that.
Thank you, Mitch.
Okay. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The resolution is adopted. Excellent. And we will certainly keep you apprised of the progress on it.
Okay. Resolution 2008B7. It deals with the use of Social Security reimbursement funds to the Department of Rehabilitation. Whereas the Department of Rehabilitation received more than $15 million from the Social Security Administration as a reimbursement arising from recipients having obtained gainful employment. And whereas the department has chosen to use these funds to pay independent living centers for services provided to department clients. And whereas, without providing any explanation, the department has refused to permit these funds to be used to defray the costs of services provided by private agencies exclusively serving individuals who are either blind or deaf. And whereas, not only is it inequitable to preclude these funds from being utilized as a source of funding for services provided by single disability agencies, but it is also unsound fiscal policy to fail to maximize limited resources by not allowing these funds to also be distributed to single disability agencies for services they provide. And whereas the director of the Department of Rehabilitation has not responded to inquiries from the California Council of the Blind concerning the use of these funds,
Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization demand that the director of the Department of Rehabilitation immediately issue a policy modification allowing these Social Security reimbursement funds to be used for services provided by both independent living centers and single disability agencies. The Resolutions Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. Jeff has asked if I would lead this piece of the agenda, and is there discussion?
Yeah, I want to, for that reason.
It all becomes so clear now, yeah. Jeff.
Wrote this resolution at the behest of other folks, but also because I felt that it was incredibly important. Tony addressed it yesterday to some degree, although he admitted that he didn't have all the facts at hand. This is something that has been on the horizon for a while, as Donna was telling me, and Tony seemed to affirm yesterday. We don't know whether there is any, and I asked in my initial inquiry, I said, look, unless there's some federal reason why we can't do this, you know, then we think it ought to be available for everybody. Now, there may be, but we don't know that yet, and I want to see clearly, at least we will find out why we've gotten the shaft, if indeed we have. Otherwise, then they ought to do something about it. You know, these monies ought to be available for, you know, services by all agencies. It's just fair and equitable. And if it can't be done because of something that they already, agreed to with the federal government, then so be it. But at least we're going to be, you know, on notice that we, they're going to be on notice as to not pull a fast one like this in the future. And that's all we can do. So I guess I'd say, although it may end up that this resolution won't achieve exactly what we intend, or it may, I would request that we stick with the rather harsh tone of it for the moment and see where it goes.
All right. Other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye. Opposed say no. The resolution is adopted.
Okay.
And I turn it back over to you, Jeff.
Okay, number 8 is the Hotel Appreciation Resolution. Whereas the staff of this hotel have helped make this convention a success, now therefore be it resolved that this organization express its appreciation for the services provided prior to and during its fall 2008 convention by the staff of the Four Points Sheraton LAX Hotel, and be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. How many of you have been helped by some staff members this weekend? Yeah, me too. Several times. From all the server staff to Victor, who seems to know the bartender, who seems to know everybody's name who's ever been in that bar. Not that I would ever have been in that bar.
Did he know your name, Mr. President?
Yes, the one who's used before. Pam.
I don't know if this is out of order here, and I'm not sure where it goes because I'm not good at this stuff, but you can tell me to put it off if you want. But I had a discussion with one of the staff members this morning as he was guiding me to devotions, and you know, I was thanking him for his help, and he said, could I talk to you? Could I tell you something that happened? And I said, sure. And he said, you know, yesterday, he said, I was guiding a young lady. I asked her, I wanted to guide a young lady. I asked her where she needed to go and if she'd like some help. One of the blind folks here, and her response was, did I ask you for help? And he said, no, but this is my job, and I'm just trying to make your stay here a little easier and more pleasant. And so I apologized to him on that person's behalf, and I said, you know, I said that could have had terrible ramifications, and that you might not wanted to have asked me this morning, and I wouldn't have blamed you. I said, but I appreciate that you did, and as I say, I apologize. And I just, even though I don't know who that person was, I just thought that it bear mentioning because it obviously affected him, you know. So thank you for your time. God bless.
Thank you, Pam. And in fact, when we provide, that's an excellent comment, when we provide our training for hotel staff prior to the beginning of these conventions, we tell them they should expect no less courtesy than from anyone else. And then, yeah, that kind of thing is just abhorrent. So, you know, that can't be accepted. Okay. All those in favor of this outstanding resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. And we definitely will transfer it on. Thank you very much. Okay, last one, I believe.
Last one. Resolution 2008B9 deals with is a volunteer appreciation. Whereas volunteers are an important part of the California Council of the Blind conventions, and whereas their participation in our conventions helps make possible the work of CCB. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization expresses its deepest gratitude and sincerest thanks to the volunteers, and we'll insert the names of all the volunteers and organizations and stuff at this point, who have made this convention possible. The Resolutions Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move. And our president is in sidebar discussions.
Sorry. I was in discussion myself.
I'd like to have it on the record who the fine volunteers were. I heard people from Lions International and ATT Pioneers, both wonderful organizations. Who else joined us?
Dirk, can I respond to that, Mr. President?
You may.
Dirk, I didn't have that list at this point. I don't know if Gene or the office. I know we have that list of all the organizations and stuff around here. That's why at the point where it says, thanks to the volunteers, I have a parenthetical statement in this copy of the resolution right in front of me to insert those names as we get them. So all those names, like I said, I don't have them right here with me, but they will be inserted and they will all, I believe, receive a copy
every
of this
individual,
resolution and letters.
Yeah, well, every individual gets it, not just the agencies. Every individual volunteer gets something.
But will the list of the agencies be published in the Blind Californian?
Well, we've never done it before. I suppose we could. We'll consider that, Dirk. We'll take it under advisement for the next convention. Okay. I believe that is our last resolution. So I will entertain a motion to accept the... Gabe, do you want to mention your members?
I was going to say, before we do that... Yeah. Hopefully I can remember everybody. I want to thank the committee members are Dirk Neihardt, Linda Perel, Gene Lozano, I'm sorry, Winifred Downing. Our newest member is Marvelina Gray. And just as I'm getting to his name, I'm being whispered in my ear, Charles Navarrete, who I'm not sure if he was a new member or not. Robert Wendt. I think that's all the members that were here this weekend. Yes, Dirk. Trish is not on the committee, but I'm getting to that. Thank you to Trish for being our runner yesterday and helping to go get lunches and beverages, and thank you very much for that. Richard, let's see, other people that spent time in there with us, Richard Rada, Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker,
I'm not sure who all else was in there, but I don't have all the names, I don't think, but people from RSVC, so thank you for coming in. Donna Pomerantz, even though she was not on the committee this convention, came in for a little while. Joel Isaac spent time with us. And if I forgot anybody's name, I apologize. But thank you to everybody who participated in the resolutions process this year. And, Mr. President, that does conclude the Resolutions Committee report.
Now we have a motion from Jerry to accept the Resolutions Committee report. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Excuse me, all opposed, nay. Abstentions? Thank you, Gabe and committee. And thank you for all the discussion. Okay, now before we get into some final business, we won't be having any more voting, so if you could hold up your badges, I would encourage folks to come around. Okay, Richard, you want to make an announcement?
Yeah.
Okay. That was closer. Oh, mine was on, though.
Okay. Oops. No, yours is on. All right. This is Richard, and as some of you know, I'm the moderator of a 4 CCB lists. If you're not joining, please join the discussion. We have 4 lists. We have the CCBL discussion list. We have the blind students discussion list. We have the weekly California Connection list that comes out every Friday morning, and we have the blind Californian list, which comes out once every quarter, and if you subscribe after we sent it out, I will not send it to you individually. But you can go on the website and read it. The email that you have to remember to subscribe to one or all 4 or any of those lists is the following email address, ccb.moderator@gmail.com. That's ccb.moderator, moderator, @gmail.com. Send me an email. You get an auto reply saying I'll get back to you within one day. And you can be on one of the lists. And Gabe, maybe you want to announce your email list change since for the connection.
Oh, sure. It's been published on the connection, but I have changed my email address or am in the process of changing, or so it's best if you use the new one. The new email address to send items for the California connection is Gabriel_Griffith. @sbcglobal.net. That is Gabriel_Griffith @sbcglobal.net.
Okay. Do we have any committee chairs that want to? Yes.
Okay, this is Artis. I'm chair of the CCB Membership Committee. The Membership Committee also has a list for announcements and discussion in relation to membership. And we would like at least one person from each chapter and special affiliate on that list. So please get me your email address, and I'll have it put on that membership list. And also, if anyone is interested in serving on the membership committee next year, I would like a couple of more members. We're a little short because we've had a couple resign in the last couple of years. So please let Jeff know if you're interested in serving on the membership committee. We need some people that want to do something. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Artis. Oh, wait. Do we have any other, committee chairs who want to talk? Okay. Old business? Any old business? Any new business? Okay. Bernice, you have some new business.
Monkey Disney. Jeff, what could we ask or can we give authorization to Teresa to do something about getting our defective microphones repaired or replaced?
Yeah. There are some issues this time. We've identified and know the issues. It's not the microphones themselves, and I don't think you'll see the same thing happening next spring. Yeah. Okay, any other new business? I hear nothing. Say what? This next spring convention at the Arden West Hotel. We don't have the rate yet that you'll be paying. We will get it out very shortly. The weekend is the first weekend in April. It's like the 2nd through the 5th, roughly. It's the first weekend. So we'll get it out really quickly as soon as we establish it. Now, any new business? Any other new business? Any last announcements? Going once, going twice, gone. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? There's a motion. A second. All those in favor? All opposed? The fall 2008 convention of the California Council of Blind is hereby adjourned.